Hello, everybody. We're back. Thank you so much for releasing us for the last 3 months, and for the wonderful financial gift that you gave us on our exit. It was really, really appreciated. So generous. It's really good to be back, and I've put together a little slideshow of a kind of an overview of kind of where we've been. So hopefully that'll be kind of helpful. Cool, eh? So some of the headlines of the personal impacts that it has had on us and on me. Firstly, I think going to India and being with Asha has added the poor and mission to our kind of life portfolio, I suppose, for want of a better word. You know, it's always been something which I've totally kind of supported and got behind and, you know, encouraged. Yeah, you know, it's fantastic. Kingdom stuff, you know, just go for it. But personally, you know, I've got my own stuff going on. But I think we've definitely made a relationship there, and I really think it's important to work relationally, and it's just a relationship which we really want to continue to maintain and to build on. And I can see kind of loads of scope for possible partnerships with kind of loads of things we could do out there with River Church Connected, you know, the community center, this school. So I think that's something which has been added to us, a kind of a new heart for the poor. I read the whole Bible, 3 months, and I read lots of books about church leadership, church growth. Felt very, very challenged in certain areas. I've learnt lots, a whole bunch of things which I kind of want to come back and put in place, areas of weakness where you think, actually, that needs to be sorted out. India was, for me, very, very interesting experience. It's very, you know, it's a country of extreme light and also extreme darkness. You've got, you know, pure, like, extreme wealth and opulence and business and colour and creativity and joy and positivity. But there's also a real kind of dark side to it. There's a really ugly side to Hinduism. The idol worship you kind of get in a new way when you read through the Old Testament. A lot of the prophets are going on about how God hates idols. And you kind of read it and you're in Mala and you're like, I'm not really sure, you know, what that's about. But for me, you kind of go into a culture and you see, you know, thousands upon thousands of people just, like, you know, it's quite degrading, just kind of worshipping just, like, really ugly things just made up, just strapped to the side of a wall. You know, there's a motorbike temple. Like, there's an ugly side to it, which I was kind of made aware of, which I found to be quite upsetting. I found it was quite degrading for a lot of humans, whereas kind of God, he lifts us up. And I would say one of the cool things about India is positivity. You know, it is a positive nation. You know, people don't have a lot in a lot of places. It's chaotic. There's litter everywhere. There's constant noise. There's constant traffic and beeping and cows and everything like that. But one of the things which challenged me was just the positivity. You know, just constant great attitude, great work ethic, friendliness. And I got back into the UK and it just struck me straight away. You know, we were like a bag in the baggage area. And we weren't even waiting that long, but some guy right next to me was just whinging about how long the bags were taking. I was just going on about how this is a, you know, your country is an absolute state or whatever. I was just thinking, man, you don't know how good we've got it. This is absolutely phenomenal. So, it challenged me personally, but definitely, definitely glad to live in England. Israel, it was really helpful, actually. I think it might be worth doing a River Church trip. I think there's been some little trips out there. But for me personally, I found it really, really helpful to root my faith in history and geography. And, you know, it's not just, oh, it's stories from the Bible. That's great. It's actually, you go there and you think, oh, this actually happened. This is history. And this is geography. And also, I think I would say there's an ancient story that we're part of, which you realize afresh when you're in Israel. You know, when you're part of, you know, the kind of new church movement like River Church, you know, it's quite a narrow stream. It's quite, you know, we're only 40 or so years old as a stream. You're quite kind of buffeted around. But you go to Israel and you think, actually, we're part of this ancient flow of the move of God. And it's also it's a wide stream. So you're there with, you know, raving Pentecostals and, you know, the Ethiopian Christians who you saw kind of dancing around. You've got the Jews, you've got, you know, hardcore socks and sandals evangelicals, you've got Russian Orthodox, you know, the Catholic community presence is huge there. And you think, this is not just an ancient stream we're part of, this is a broad river that we're part of. And all of us together, we experience the same Christ in our hearts. And that for me was just really, really helpful in just not feeling necessarily as buffeted around when you do weekend. So that thing about just, I suppose, the ancient and the broad is helpful, I think. Lastly, a big thing was, over the last 5 years, as I've been leading the church, I've wondered quite deeply whether or not I'm called. You know, when I was asked to lead the church, you know, I'd been helping out and being the youth leader, and David, do you want to lead the church? And I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, yeah, I'll give it a go, but like, you know, I just want to serve the church, and if this is the way that I can serve for a time, then that's fine. If someone else comes along who's the right person for the job, you know, that's fine as well. But I wrestled really deeply, like, am I called for this? If you're going to become an Anglican vicar, you know, before you even go to vicar training, you need to know that you've had the call, and that needs to be, you know, tick number one, and then you begin training, and, you know, that's it. And I was up for, you know, for the whole time I've been leading the church, I've been thinking, am I even called to do this, you know? And if not, should I be having a plan B? Should I have a second stream of income? Should I be studying in another area so that when the time does come, you know, I should, you know, I can have something? And I was on our balcony at the B&B in Goa, and I was reading Pete Gregg's book, Dirty Glory, which is a flipping awesome book. It's probably my favorite book that I read while I was away. And he had this like paragraph. He was talking about salvation, people coming to know Jesus. And he said, for some people, it's like an on-off switch. So, like, you know, they're just in you know, their own lives. And then, like, the light switches on. And it's like, oh, I've now found Jesus. And he said, for other people, salvation is almost like the dawning of the rising of the sun in the morning. And it's a journey. And as they walk on that journey, they just find that the light appears and they just suddenly know Jesus. And as I read that, I just suddenly like just started to connect all these kind of like neuro connections in my head. My mind just started going crazy, and I just started writing down all these thoughts. I thought, okay, prophetic words that I've had, you know, as a child, the environment that I've grown up in, the things I've been exposed to, the people that God's put me around, the choices that I've made, just the things that I'm interested in, the gifts that I have. And I just kind of created this map about kind of myself, and I looked at it and I thought, it dawned on me. It wasn't ever, I was expecting this on-off switch, like this kind of message, this postcard from heaven. And God just showed me, well, if this isn't a calling, like, what the hell is? So I feel called. It feels quite, you know, like a Greek thing is kind of binary thinking, on, off, zero, one. Whereas like a Hebrew thing is much more about being. It's a holistic thing. It's who you are. And so for me, that's been really helpful. It means that, you know, I can go, you know what, my thing to do in life, my core, I'm going to give my life 100% to serve Jesus and to serve the church in whatever way that means. It doesn't necessarily mean I need to be the paid leader of the church or whatever, but that's my thing, and that's going to be my number one thing, and I'm going to go for it wholeheartedly. So that, for me, has been really, really helpful. That's cool, isn't it? Okay. Joseph, are you any good at making tea? Could you, I've got a kettle here. I couldn't make it reach. We'll just put it on to boil. And if you just sit there, that'll be good. And we've got something here. And here's the tea. Here's the tea bag. And there's the milk. And we're just going to let that boil for a second. And then while I talk, if you could just make that into a cup of tea, that would be fantastic. So the reading for today was Jesus saying, "Come follow me." And when Jesus said that, in fact, I might ask, what did that mean for the disciples? What did that mean for the apostles? When they agreed to follow him, what did that mean? Shout out or put your hand up. It meant dropping everything? Yep. Leaving their jobs? Leaving home? A lifestyle change? Following Jesus, doing what Jesus does, sorry? Putting their trust in him? You know, it was a very radical thing to do. You know, you're kind of joining this a brand new group. It's not like you're joining an established group. It's a brand new group that goes against the complete flow of the norm of thinking at the time. So it's very costly. It's a very costly thing to do. Costly for your relationships, potentially. People might think you're an absolute nut job. It's costly. It was costly. It cost all of their lives. Every single apostle, apart from John, ended up being martyred for their faith. People across the world are martyred for their faith all the time. It was just, I think, basically, it's a radical thing to do. To respond to Jesus' call to say, "Come follow me," is a radical thing. Everybody with me? Revelation, where's my phone? I've lost my phone. Revelation 3:14. Someone could read it out for me. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor you're hot. I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So you've got a message to the angel who's over this church. So the early Christians are a passionate group. Following Jesus is like a costly, it's a passionate, it's a radical thing. But sometimes, as you can see with this church, what happened is there became a bit of a lukewarmness. They'd lost their passion. How are you getting on? Okay, right. So who wants a cup of tea? Sarah wants a cup of tea. Do you want to deliver that? I have here a Lipton iced tea. Does anybody like iced tea? Sorry, Emma Hawkins, you were the first. I have here a lukewarm tea that was made an hour ago. Would anybody like lukewarm? Does anyone want to admit to actually liking what lukewarm tea? Joanne! Let's give Joe a round of applause. What's Jesus getting at? It sounds kind of quite harsh, but basically, I think in essence, Jesus, following Jesus, is not supposed to be, you can take that down now, Tim, is not supposed to be a half-hearted thing. And I kind of think it's a bit like going on has anyone been on like one of those sports car days? Like you get like a birthday present and you can go and drive like a sports car for the day. Put your hands up if you've done that. If you see like, and I've never done it, but I've always liked the idea of it. If you see like a Lamborghini or a Porsche or like, you know, just some awesome car and you go, right, you've got the chance to like ride this, drive this as fast as you can around this track. What you don't want to do is get in that and just drive at like 20 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour. It's just like, no, please do not do that. You've either got to drive it fast or just leave it. You know, we can just look at it. And it's just, it's not meant for just going at 20 miles an hour. And following Jesus, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Come follow me," it's got to be a wholehearted thing. It's got to be something that we give ourselves to. But there is also this thing where actually we can give ourselves to Jesus. And it's like, yeah. But then actually over the years, disappointment, tiredness sets in. Pain sets in, and we actually find ourselves, for a whole bunch of reasons, just things not working well, frustrations, relational tensions, stress, we actually find ourselves being neither hot nor cold. We can end up
lukewarm. And it's a dangerous place to be in. You know, my journey, if I go 9 months back, I was at Riverfest, and I've said this before. I was at Riverfest, and which is our church weekend away, and I was sitting in the kind of the congregation, and I was listening to the speaker, and I was thinking to myself, I literally could not care less what this guy is saying. I just do not give a crap. I'm not interested. I've got like nothing. My passion is completely gone, and I felt like I had. The way I would describe it is spiritual repetitive strain injury. I just felt sick of just doing the same thing. I just felt bored, and I felt like this kind of sickness, just like spiritual RSI had set in. And I went to see a spiritual director in the summer, and I was very, very, very nearly resigned because I thought, this is not right. You know, the leader of the church needs to be completely passionate for Jesus. And I don't know how to fix myself. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I've lost something. I've lost something of my first love. I've lost that edge. I've lost that passion. I've lost that. I'm not hot anymore. I'm lukewarm. And the guy sat me down and he goes, so do you actually want to get back on track with God? And I sat there and I actually sat in for about 5 minutes. I didn't say anything. And I just thought, do I want to get back on track with God? Like, I don't know. I thought, you know, I'm tired. And like, I feel like I've tried everything. And I feel like it comes with a load of baggage, with a load of pressure. And in the end, I said to him, you know what, ultimately, like, I know that that baggage is my baggage and doesn't need to come with the package. I do want to be right with God if I can, you know, if I can be the real deal. So I started on this little adventure. This thing of doing my St. Ignatius exercises, spiritual exercises, written hundreds and hundreds of years ago by this old guy, St. Ignatius. And every day I'd do a little spiritual exercise. And I can say that I found Jesus again. I've gone from being lukewarm to being hot again. I carry the peace of God in my heart. And it's flipping amazing. It's like, it's real. It is real. And it's like the most precious, precious thing. We've both found it. We're just in love with our Creator again, who loves us so much. And we're just inspired. And I've come home to kind of reports of just the being a kind of a sense of lukewarmness in the church, attendance being down at times, and just the kind of a sense of just like, I don't know, just lukewarmness. And you know what I thought? I thought, there is no judgment whatsoever, because I've been there. But we can't stay there. That's a dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be. None of us want to be part of a lukewarm church. So what I want to say is that this week I'm going to send out a survey. It's called the Reveal Survey. And it's an opportunity for you just to answer as many, go through the survey, and it's just answers about how you're doing with Jesus, what you're thinking about church, loads of stuff. I'm going to take the results, and in a month's time, I want to have a church meeting. I'm just having an honest conversation as a community, just going, what's working well? What's not working well? Like, some of the stuff is structural things, I think, like a wider structure across River. I think we're too thinly spread all over the place. So there's some deep-seated things which need to change. We just need to have a conversation as a family. The second thing I want to say is that in part, it's my job to kind of be responsible for your precious souls, the health of your precious inner lives. You need to take responsibility, but I have a responsibility as well for that. And so if you feel like you're in a bit of a spiritual rut, if you are where I was 9 months ago, which is totally fine, then I would love to sit down and just have a coffee with you. We spend an hour together and we just write a little plan. We can explore what you think is going to work for you. And then we just try it, do it for a couple of months, and we can meet again. But I would more than happily sit down with every single person in this church and just say, look, how's your relationship with God going? How's your spiritual temperature? And what can we do about that? Thirdly, I'm going to start sending out weekly emails if there's a desire for it. But I've been doing these spiritual exercises for almost a year now, and they have been just life-changing. It's been so helpful just to have a fresh little framework to work through every single day. And if anybody wants to, you know, do some of those spiritual exercises, I could send out a weekly email with just daily exercises to do. So if anybody wants to do that, I'll put up a sheet here at the end, and you can just write your name down, and I'll send you an email at the start of the week. You can have your exercises for the week, and we can do that. And lastly, Chloe and I, when we were away, we felt like we've lost that kind of adventuring with Jesus. And I think part of it is we just want to start going places. And so we kind of came up with this little idea of doing Seek God Saturdays, where once a month we're just going to go to something, like whatever's going on, you know, David's Tent or London Bible Week or New Wine or whatever it is, or we might just go and hang out in a field somewhere or, you know, whatever it is. If anyone wants to join us, just once a month, we're just going to go. We're just going to seek God together and just let's get our passion back. So, you know, life is short. I wasn't here last week to kind of say like my thing for Jan. And I just want to say she modeled something around just constant not being lukewarm. When she said yes to following Jesus, she did it with everything. She did it with everything she had until the very, very end. And that inspires me. And I think that we have, like, I want to have a duty of responsibility to honor that gift that she's given us, that example that she's given us. And I just think, you know, life is short. And if we're going to follow Jesus, let's not be lukewarm. Let's do it. Let's give it everything, you know? Thanks, Kathy. I'll finish now. Tim, if you can just put up this prayer. It's a prayer from the Ignatius exercises, and I just like you just to read it and just to look at it. And if you want to pray it, then in like a minute, you know, or like 30 seconds or something, let's just pray it together. It's good to be back.
Whoa. Dave may not remember this, but there was a guy called Chris Light who used to come and visit us in Llanelli, and he was actually there once when you were there, and a wandering prophetic soul. I bumped into him when we were in Halifax at the Healing Rooms conference a few weeks ago, and he had a word which he shared with me, and he said, I'm not sure it's for you personally, and I felt when he gave it to me that I couldn't share it until Dave came back, because it was too sort of forceful and directional. But I have told one or two people, so they know that I received this some time ago. He said, God just wants to say, lukewarm isn't going to cut it. And I just want to share that now with you, that's what he said to me. We had just prayed as a conference for Jan, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, I don't know the context, I don't know anything about this, but lukewarm is not going to cut it.